Rob, I know this is my podcast, but I want to thank you for hosting me in this beautiful arena and for getting me down here.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to being interviewed and you taking me through your process.
Yeah, man.
A lot of great things about you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So normally my podcasts go, some of them, I did one today that was 2 hours long.
Wow.
Some of them go really long.
Wow.
I like to go deep with folks.
I hear you.
And I'm going to just get right into it with you. I've heard you talk about wealth wounds.
Yes.
That caught my attention.
Yes.
And I have a lot of my own wealth wounds. I would love to hear you talk about what that means to you.
You know, thank you for the access. And one of the first questions that I like to ask somebody is, where exactly did your wealth wounds come from? Were they handed down to you, or did you have experiences that led to that?
Mm-hmm. You're asking
yeah.
me.
I'm not interviewing, but I'll be able to.
Yeah. So, okay, you ask, where did it come from, basically? Where did the wealth wounds come from?
You said you have some wealth wounds.
Yes.
Right? So, was it handed down? Mindset-wise, or did you have an experience that did that?
Yeah. I think it was handed down from my parents.
Yeah, so I think what happens is we all have stories that we tell ourselves. We all have different experiences, and money's a charge. However, the society we live in says that we need money to get what we want. True, but the stuff that we think we want, which is all materialistic, is not fulfilling, right? It's like the new car doesn't make you feel better. If you never had one, you think it will, but when you get it, it's not the new car that makes you feel better. It's the access that the new car gives you. When I talk about wealth wounds, I'm talking about people's relationship with money, and is it a scarce relationship or is it an abundant relationship? If it's scarce, you're always going to be chasing. You're always going to come from a lack mindset, and all your decisions wouldn't necessarily be free-flowing. It would be more from a scarce, I don't have it, let me grab energy mindset.
Mm. Yeah. So let's say I came to you with that. I said, my parents have handed me wealth wounds. I grew up upper middle class. So I knew where my next 1,000 meals were coming from at any given time. I've never really been actually in scarcity. So where would you go with me? Like what would the process look like to help someone get clear on what your beliefs are, where the scarcity shows up, et cetera?
My process is usually a 60-day, 6-call process. Mm. And what I want to do first is build rapport, meaning I genuinely want to get to know you. So I'm going to ask a lot of questions. I learned this from my partner, Sean Callagher. I'm going to ask you 5 questions, basically, in the rapport building phase. So people typically say, how do you go build rapport with somebody? Well, how do you do it? Well, it's really like, you know, where are you from? Where are you now? Where are you going? What are your strengths and what are your challenges? That's kind of the mindset. But my question is, if you knew where your 1,000 meals were coming from, but you still had wealth wounds, were those wealth wounds in decision-makings on moving forward? Were you not sure if you should do it? Or was there a certain money number that made you uncomfortable?
Yeah. I'm a combination of a lot of things, man. I could definitely get into it with you. I think I always saw my parents worried about it.
Yep.
So they made a good amount of money, but in comparison to the other people that I grew up around, I didn't make that much money. My parents didn't make that much money.
What was the difference between them and your parents?
They were making more money.
Different careers?
Different, yes.
Okay.
Different careers.
And what, do you know the difference? Do you remember the difference in careers? Do you know what it was?
I don't know exactly what their parents were doing.
The reason why I'm asking is because entrepreneurs live a different life and a different mindset than a salary person.
Yeah.
So if you have a salary with a bonus, great, but there's stuff you could do outside of that in another business that could help really take you to another level.
Right.
Our parents weren't taught that.
Right.
Right? So if your parents were good savers, which it sounds like they were.
Yes.
That's always a leg up versus someone like my parents that will run out of money on the 20th of every month.
Mm.
Right? Those are two different things. And I think that for me, when I build leverage or when I build rapport, which creates leverage, anyone I talk to needs to know that I genuinely care, because I want to make sure that they know, because I'm listening to them and what they actually say matters. And by deep listening versus talking over them, it helps build rapport.
Yeah.
Now, once you build rapport, if I can build rapport, then I can create leverage. So you're going to tell me all the different things that were your successes, all your different challenges, all your different, like, you know, limiting beliefs. If I build leverage, I could then say, hey, maybe I could show you how to disrupt that pattern over here because you're listening to me, and then replace that pattern and put it over here with an empowering alternative.
Yeah.
Right? by doing that, it creates lasting change.
Yeah.
If you're motivated by fear, that's not good. If you're motivated by a short-term goal, well, you're going to go back to where you were.
Yeah.
So in my process, it's how do I understand how you operate, what your operating system is, why you have that relationship with money. And then, by the way, I want to know your successes with money.
Yeah.
I want to know what you did well. You know, I want to know if you saved 20% of every paycheck, that's a great start. If you've taken risk in the past and it didn't work out, that doesn't mean it's not going to work out in the future, but why did you take that risk? Can you change the strategy on how you make a decision on if something's risky or not in your own mind?
Yeah.
So that's some of the stuff I get into.
Yeah. So how long does it normally take for you to actually do X's and O's? It sounds like, and to me, the way, way, way more important work is the inner work and getting clear on your beliefs. But how long does it usually take before you're even doing X's and O's with folks?
So it depends on how they come to me. Some people could be right at the beginning. That's a different timetable. But some people could already be like, you know, they already have different assets, different asset classes, high paying job. And, you know, I'm going to dig deep onto like, you know, what they want as a strategy. But I also want to dig deep on how they think about money and where they really want to be. So if somebody, I'll say to somebody, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Once again, this is after rapport is built. And they'll tell me, and then I'll say, well, if you don't get there, what's that going to feel like? If you didn't do what you said you wanted to do. Not if you did everything you said you wanted to do, you didn't get, because that's a different feeling. But if you actually don't follow up and don't have leverage on yourself and show up every day, what's that going to feel like?
Yeah.
And then in that emotion, they'll tell me, if they're being honest. And then I'll simply say, hey, and my man Sean Callaghan told me this, hey, do I have the permission to kind of share with you a little bit about myself and where I could add value? But this all comes back down to rapport.
Sean Callaghan, someone I wrote down right here. He's been brought up twice in this interview already.
Really?
Clearly had a big impact on you.
He's my business partner.
Yeah.
And my coach, my mentor, my brother, you know, phenomenal. He's my number one. Dave Meltzer's my, I'm not even going to say top five. I'm going to say top three. Phenomenal relationship with Dave. And, you know, I just think that we're in our positions right now because if I'm a student, but I got a team around me on the financial planning side, which I do, and I'm continually growing, I could be able to transfer that information to my teammates. Mm.
So are they both your coaches?
Separately? Well, yes. But Sean's also my business partner.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. And you work with three coaches?
I work with Randy Garin, Sean Callaghan, David Meltzer, sometimes Chris Krohn, but not as much as I used to.
So what have you learned about yourself in working with coaches?
I think the biggest thing is that I'm better than I think I am. Mm. And I'm real close to getting to that next step. And I've always been close, but what's been holding me back is my belief that I'm not good enough or I don't deserve it. That's a real thing that I struggle with, but I'm also overcoming.
Yeah. And how have you worked through that belief that you're not good enough? Because I feel that way. I think everyone can relate to that, and I feel that way on a regular basis anymore because I work with coaches too. But
yeah. So I think we're same thing. If I get leverage on myself, and I create disruption, but I have a backup game plan. And if I'm writing down my goals every day or reviewing my day on a daily basis, if I do stuff like that, good things happen. Now, what I can say is some techniques that I've used that have been really good is ask myself different questions. So if I say to myself, hey, why does this keep happening to me? My Google brain is going to show me all the different times in my life why I suck.
Yeah.
Versus what can I learn from this? How can I increase my, I'm going to speak in business right now. How can I increase my income and revenues by understanding serving people first, last, and always, and then being able to bring that back into my business, and by bringing it back into my business, be able to put myself in a position to serve and then prosper?
Yeah.
Those are two different questions.
So it's really the power of just asking yourself empowering questions.
Yeah, consistently in the mirror, get it. If you say it out loud, it's in your nervous system differently than if you say it to yourself.
It's very refreshing to hear a financial advisor talking about nervous system. And really, it's what I'm hearing is there's a level of embodiment to the work that you're doing.
Yeah, I think the highest performers in anything, whether it's financial planning or you know, an entrepreneur, you know, influencer, I think it's an inside job and it starts within first.
So what would you say is like your biggest edge right now? What's I know that you said you're working on thinking or working on really deeply believing that you're enough. Is that what your biggest edge is right now?
I think that because of the consistent work I've been doing, I've been able to create a reputation. In the arduous phase where you're digging, now what happens is when I meet somebody new, it accelerates the relationship because now somebody can say, oh, let me check him out. He knows this person, he knows that person. And that comes by being integrous and committing and following up on all your deals and agreements. Folks that don't follow up on their agreements are folks that lose momentum with other people because they feel guilty themselves.
Yeah.
So for me, it's about empowering questions, really having an attitude of gratitude by being thankful, letting my action be louder than my words on that thankfulness, or really showing people how grateful I am, and then being able to serve and contribute. All those pillars that I just described are much more, not only inspirational, but uplifting, and more worldly and congruent than individually and private.
What are a few things you're grateful for right now?
You know, I'm grateful to be able to see these kids play basketball and be able to have an impact on some of them. You saw my interview with Zaire. I'm grateful for the video team that came here today. I'm grateful for my chief of staff, Alexa, the rest of my Epic team in the office. I'm grateful that you drove down here to come see me. Thinking of David Meltzer, because that's how we met. I'm grateful to David Meltzer. And I watch all these kids that go by right now. Not one of them is taught how to brand and market themselves. And these kids are entrepreneurs. Some are going to go pro. And not one of them know how to brand and market themselves with intentionality and sell one of their own T-shirts. And I blame that on the coaches, because the coaches need to give them more of an education on financial literacy, branding, marketing, and, oh, by the way, put them in a position to prosper outside of basketball.
What do you teach them? Like, how do you teach someone to be? I think that when I was their age, I didn't think I had a lick of entrepreneurial spirit in me.
Yeah.
And now I'm on the path of entrepreneurship. So I think everyone has it in them. But so where would you teach someone who doesn't believe in themselves?
You know, what's funny is I think that if I look at sports, I'm going to use sports because that's my story, right? If you look at high school basketball, there's 1.5 million high school basketball players. Of those, 1,500 get a scholarship at D1, right? Of those 1,500, 30 make it to the NBA, and then eventually 24 go bankrupt. So of that pool of 1.5 million, where 24 eventually go bankrupt 20 years later, they may have put 30 years of work into basketball. So they're really good at, and just like the ones that don't make it to the NBA, they're really good at systems, processes, and repetition. Entrepreneurs are entrepreneurs due to repetition. We're not rocket scientists, we're not mathematicians, and we're not inventing anything that's going to change the world. However, we may find the person that's going to invent something to change the world. So to me, anyone that's good at repetition, all these kids, they may not be able to be good in science and algebra, but they could be outstanding entrepreneurs if someone gave them the map. No different than if I want to work on my jump shot, I got to keep my elbow in. It's the same thing in business acceleration.
Okay, so if we were to transpose that over, let's say, Mark, you said branding and marketing, right? So if you were going to give someone beginning repetitions on branding and marketing, someone who doesn't know a damn thing about how to do that.
Yep.
Where do you start? What's the first few reps we're taking?
So the first thing I would do is have kids understand algorithm chasing sentences. In other words, find out what has the most views by checking hashtags. And then you open it up with a sentence, and then you go 60 seconds content, and you say continue to follow. But make sure you have a website tied to it and your own personal brand. And then you keep dropping messages once, maybe three times a day, but it has to have intentionality. A video like this, if one of these kids can interview one of their buddies and they get a camera like this for 30 minutes, not only does this go on YouTube and a podcast, but then they could chop it up into 20, 60 seconds videos that go on their page as well. So if I'm gonna do eight today, that means I'm gonna have 2 months of clip videos on TikTok, Stories, Instagram, Facebook, and whatever else I'm not thinking about, right?
Yeah.
So that's how you take one splash and you create multiple versions of it and getting your message out there over and over. But it's got to lead somewhere. And for these kids, it would lead to not only their brand, their T-shirts that they want to sell, a book that they can write, because AI will allow them to write a book in about 3 weeks. All free value, but eventually the financial literacy course and being able to kind of go through that as well.
So what are some ways outside of finances? I mean, we've spoken about mindset, but how do you take care of yourself? Like, what are do you eat a certain way, work out a certain way?
So we're working on that last part. You know, I have Alexa as my account. Second time I mention her, she is without a doubt my accountability partner, my chief of staff, someone that genuinely, like a family member, cares about me and my physical success so I can live a longer life for what we're building. And it's a real thing. I don't drink. I haven't had alcohol since 1996. So, but I do like food. I do like sugar as an emotional eater. Putting that to the side, not to minimize it, I do work out. I love natural endorphins from working out. I think congruently it comes down to how do you make the mind, body, and soul all work together? Love meditating. I love climbing. You know, I love building businesses. I love digging deep. I understand the pain pleasure principle real well. I don't avoid pain, maybe in certain situations, but when I'm intentional, I run to pain because I know that's where the growth is.
Well, I'm going to keep the rapid fires coming. So if you had to recommend, based on today's conversation so far, two or three books that would help someone who maybe doesn't think that they're an entrepreneur, but they have that itch inside of them. They want to create a new life for themselves. What are three books that have had a big impact on you?
I mean, everyone's talked about Think and Grow Rich. But if you really sit down and you read it page by page and really understand what he's doing in that book, you'll know if you're an entrepreneur or not. You'll know if you relate or not. Right? You'll know if that's for you or not. And if you're not an entrepreneur, it's a great book, but you may not like it as much. You know, David Schwartz, The Magic of Thinking Big, is a dynamite book. I love that book. Outlier is another phenomenal book.
Gladwell.
I love that book because it talks about proximity, but it also, I'm going to use my words, talks about a talent pool. So if one of these teams here have kids that are at a higher level of talent, they could feed off each other, especially if they're at a younger age, and build up a lot faster than if they got together when they're at an older age. So talent pool through Outliers, which is 10,000 hours to become a master at something.
Yep.
And I think those three books are a great head start.
So one question I wanted to ask you, because you gave it to me in the prep for this conversation, and I love this question. Why does privilege make you uncomfortable?
That's a great question. So privilege makes me uncomfortable because it is an expectation in my mind, speaking for me, an expectation mindset. Now, an expectation mindset without work, I struggle with. But an expectation mindset with work, I don't struggle with. Sometimes privilege gives excuses not to have a work ethic that matches the expectation. That's been my experience. People that don't come from privilege and understand if it is to be, it's up to me, and have this one opportunity, this privilege window that's open, tend to step into it much greater without somebody influencing behind the scenes and giving them a pass. They may get a pass the first time, the second time, but those passes are going to catch up to that person when they're in their 30s and 40s.
Yep.
And they're going to crumble and they're going to fall down and they're going to collapse. And if you're going to collapse in your 30s and 40s, it's a lot worse than you do it in your 50s, you know, your 10s and 20s.
Yep.
So the challenge with the kids that don't have privilege, they don't think they deserve it.
Yeah.
And I want to let them know you do deserve it. It's not about resources. It's about being resourceful. Two different things. Once you learn the art of resourcefulness, branding, marketing, and self-education through investing in the real estate between your ears, you can begin to really break through that ceiling of complexity.
All right, Rob. Final question I ask every interview. What does it mean to you to live a meaningful life?
It means everything. It's the dash between the day I was born and the day I died. So I want to be known for having impact. I want to be known for being able to provide value and service that I contribute, that I've had impact on people's worlds. I mean, I look around, I want these kids, I want people in front of me to talk about me in a way that I didn't take from them, that I gave to them, and the result of that giving put them in a place that they may not have been able to get to had they not met me at a certain time in their life.
All right, Rob. Well, thank you so much for the time, my brother.
Thank you, brother.
You seem like a man who serves with a lot of good medicine in the world, and I appreciate your time.
And I'm going to reciprocate our Wembador back when we get back to the Red Bank area. I can't do it today, but I want to thank you so much for being on your podcast. I'm excited to share it and do everything else, but I'm also excited to interview you as well.
I'm looking forward to that, my friend.
All right.